You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Wednesday. One of our favorite places, Old Ben Franklin Motors. And Bear, when I say it's a beautiful day out here, like that doesn't even begin to do it justice. It is fantastic car buying weather here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. I can't even begin to explain. It's magnificent.
Yeah, I spent a good bit of time outside doing some yard work this morning, Russ, soaking up some sunshine and getting some fresh air, my man.
Unbelievable. I had a dilemma earlier today at the house. It was so nice, and I went for a long walk this morning, and I tell you, I really wanted to wear shorts out here to Old Ben Franklin Motors, but I mean, it was kind of a, you know, aside from just being unprofessional. Yeah, you know, you've seen me in shorts, Bear. Pasty white chicken legs. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, man. those pale. I mean, it kind of remind me of Stork, Russ, to, you know, not to hurt your feelings or anything. Yeah, you got skinny legs.
No offense taken. Very, very Stork-like. But anyway, so good taste prevailed. I'm out here in pants. And we've got some Piping Hot Jets pizza for you. And let me tell you what happened here, Bear. Let me drop something on you here that I don't know if this is going to shock, amaze, or if you're going to be completely indifferent and unsurprised about this. But I walk in about an hour ago to Jets Pizza in Farragut, Kingston Pike, over there next to National RX. I walk in there and see Angie picking up the pizzas. Guess who is perched up? You'll never guess who is perched up at the bar. Just slamming an entire pepperoni pizza all by himself and pounding a Blue Moon with the orange in it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll never get.
I mean, until you said beer and you were just slamming a large pepperoni, I was going to go Roger, but when you add the beer in the mix, I'm going to guess Westchester.
No, you're way off base. I'll give you a little hint. He is one of our coworkers.
Oh. Whoa. Rick Butler?
Nope. I'll give you another hint. He is a member of Three and Pout, the award-winning morning show here on Fan Run Radio.
Oh, Chris.
No. I'll give you another hint. He's the guy who signs your checks.
Nate Hodges?
The godfather himself.
Just pounding a pie. A Blue Moon
perched up there, looks the happiest I've ever seen him, and he let me in on a secret. He said, "Dubs, this is where I hang. This is my happy place." He says, "When I want to get away from everybody, I'm just totally throwing like his. If his wife is listening right now, he's busted, right?" He says, "Well, yeah. If I want to get away from everybody, I come down here and I sit in the corner, and I eat pizza, drink beer, and look at my phone."
You just completely.
That's our leader.
Yeah, I wish I had a place like that.
That's our leader, man. Hey, and I'm not even like I got to say I'm jealous, man. I mean, his pizza looked delicious. He was going with this the traditional crust, just straight pepperoni. It was glistening like it was fresh out of the oven. He had just torn into it. He's like halfway through his first beer. He looked so happy, and for just a brief moment. I briefly considered staying there with him and just hanging out, letting you and Alex and Adam handle the show today. And then I remembered I had to be out here at Old Ben Franklin Motors and duty prevailed. And here I am.
I'm glad you decided somewhat responsible today, Russ.
Here I am.
So, Jamie, got anything new and exciting on the lot?
Oh, man. I mean, we've got all the Mitsubishis here, and here's the deal. I'm glad you asked, Bear. 3 days left in in the month. Is this a, or it's 3 days? It's the 24th. So 4 days, 3.5 days left in the month. It is their end of the month blowout here in February. And they've got great prices on all remaining 2020 Mitsubishis. I'm talking about the Mirage, the Eclipse Cross, and, of course, the Outlander. 100,000-mile warranties come with the new Mitsubishis. You can get that Mirage for as little as $179 a month. A new car. A new car. $179 a month here at Old Bend. Come on down. It's the end of the month, and if you know anything about car dealerships, you know that means that they have very highly motivated sales guys waiting to hook you up with a test drive this afternoon here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. So come on down and see them. It's a beautiful day to take a drive. We're at 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from the Chop House, oldbenfranklinmotors.com. You want to call down here and see if they've got what you're looking for? 865-693-9315 is the number, 693-9315, to talk to the folks here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. And so let's get right into it today, Bear, this Tiger Woods thing. I don't know if you stayed up late night yesterday watching some of the coverage of it, but just really scary stuff, man, really scary stuff. And it's hard to speculate on where all this is headed, but I was reading Dr. Chow over at Outkick.com. You ever read him? David Chow, MD.
No, huh? But I did talk to a old high school friend of mine who made good. He's a he's an orthopedic surgeon, and he's the kind of guy that you call in when somebody rolls into the emergency room in the shape Tiger rolled in yesterday.
By the way, like, you know, Tiger Woods has had a billion different surgeries, right? But he's usually going to the best back doctor in the world, right? And the surgery is planned out probably months in advance, and he knows who he's going to and what's going to happen, and there's always a plan. So put yourself in this guy's shoes, who's had like a billion different medical procedures. He's got a billion different doctors, most famous athlete in the world in the last 20 years or so, and he's out there driving. Now he has this terrible accident, and he needs immediate surgery. It cannot wait. He can't schedule his guy in Florida or whatever. He just goes to the nearest hospital. Think about the docs in the emergency room that day. It's just a normal day. You're working on whatever, car wreck victims, gunshot wound, whatever these guys are traditionally working in the ER that day. And all of a sudden, they wheel in Tiger Woods and the greatest
catastrophic
athlete,
lower leg injuries,
maybe of our generation, the greatest athlete. They roll him in there, and his leg is just shattered, just messed up, and you've got to put him back together.
I think those guys, I mean, you know, Harbor UCLA is where they took him. That's a level one trauma center in LA, and I'm fairly certain, you know, if I'm him, you'd rather almost – you want somebody
I'm not putting down the doctors happen on call. I'm just pointing out that this was not on the agenda today. And all of a sudden they're thrown in there for like a 9-hour surgery, however long it lasted, just working on this dude's leg.
I think at that point, guys like that, you kind of tune out the fact of who it is, and they're concentrating on, you know, the kind of injuries he had yesterday and had surgery for. The loss of limb, you know, is there's a fairly good chance if something goes wrong and they don't get, you know, the wounds cleaned and get everything put back where it goes, that, you know, things could go horribly wrong. So.
Oh, yeah, he's not out of the woods yet. I was reading that Dr. Chow over at Outkick says he's probably going to need several additional surgeries, at least to keep the wound clean. He's going to have to debride dead and damaged tissue, eventually close the wounds. It probably sounds like an Alex Smith thing where he doesn't have the wounds closed up right now. So it's a very, you know, kind of touch-and-go situation out there. And again, it's very difficult to project ahead where this thing is going to end up with Tiger Woods, but it certainly sounds like his golf career is on hold for the rest of the year. maybe if you look at Alex Smith, it took him 2 years. Now, he had the infections and everything. Hopefully that doesn't happen to Tiger. But Bear, it's worth, we have to be facing, we were talking about this anyway, about is this the end of Tiger Woods as a competitive golfer and a threat to win majors? Now you throw this on top of the back surgery, the problems that he had anyway, and
yeah, I mean there's he was 4 weeks around there post-op from his latest. You know, there's no telling if there's just no telling right now, and it's kind of hard to even speculate.
Well, it definitely seems like the end is in sight. And listen, if he came back from this and was able to win another major, it would be one of the biggest comeback story in the history of professional sports. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like. But we do have to start looking at this could be it. And certainly he's got bigger fights to worry about right now than just playing golf. Bear, we talked about the, you know, greatest athletes of all time consideration.
Right.
Let's narrow in here on just this millennium so far, the past 20 years. Where does Tiger Woods rank the best athletes of the still young 21st century, in your opinion?
I mean, he's definitely top five. I've thought a lot about this since all the news came down. The only thing that I can liken it to is, you know, as far as the effect on his sport, like once he's gone, I think golf could be facing the same kind of problems that, you know, totally different kind of deal, but when NASCAR lost Earnhardt.
Mm. I thought you were going to go with the Jordan comparison there. But
No. Just, you know, the two guys that, you know, I mean, there's guys that came up after them that were really good, you know, respectively in auto racing and in golf, but it's not the same when you turn on the TV, even 20, you know, 20 years out from Earnhardt, and it's not going to be the same in golf.
I would say maybe,
it's not going to be the same draw.
I would say maybe another good comparison is boxing after Mike Tyson left.
Yeah, and so you guys are too young to remember, like, when Ali, you know, the heavyweight division wasn't as good until Tyson, then once Tyson left it, you know. I mean, there's just certain people in sports that, you know, transcend and everything, but yeah, I mean, Tiger's a phenomenal athlete. I'd put him up there with, you know, Bo Jackson.
The three guys I had, thinking about it before the show, and this is, again, just the last 21 years, right? This century. I've got Tiger, Michael Phelps, and Usain Bolt as the three just most dominant, freakishly good athletes of their generation. There are a lot of other guys you could throw in there. You can throw in Kobe. You can throw in LeBron. You can go Roger Federer. You can talk about Serena Williams. You can talk about the soccer guys, Messi and Ronaldo. But for me, those three, like when you think about the things that they won and how dominant they were, Phelps, Bolt, Tiger, to me, that's kind of the holy trinity of the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's nobody in their respective sports that could, they just crushed and people would wilt. You know, they were pretty much unbeatable when they were in their prime. Nobody was ever going to beat Usain Bolt. You know, Michael Phelps, obviously the most decorated Olympic swimmer ever. And then, you know, Tiger, had he not screwed his back, you know, if his back hadn't got screwed up, some of his personal problems kind of cost him, you know, time on the course. And he very well may have beaten Jack's record. So as it is, he's tied with who? Sam Snead, 82, all-time.
Yeah, I don't even know who is 15.
No, I mean, just all-time PGA Tour wins. He's tied first at 82 with Sam Snead.
Here. Here's the other thing, and Alex brought up Mike Tyson. I see some similarities there between Tiger and Tyson, just in terms of the way their career was interrupted. I'll always wonder, man, if Tiger doesn't start with that blown out ACL in 2008, whenever that was. Remember, he won that U.S. Open in the playoff over Rocco Mediate. He was still dominant at that point in time. Then he has the ACL. Then he has his personal problem. Personal life falls apart, and it was just up and down since then, and he's never regained that form. And I just wonder, it's like Tyson, when he went to prison, was just never the same guy. He flashed it when he came back, but it wasn't like Mike Tyson before the Buster Douglas fight.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. So, but the big thing is, how does the PGA, what are they going to do going forward? His shoes can never be filled.
No.
It may be another generation before we see a draw like that. Hell, it may be until Charlie Woods.
No, he made golf cool. Nobody watched golf. I didn't watch golf before Tiger Woods came along, and quite frankly, haven't watched very much of it since he hasn't been as good. So, yeah, it's going to be just terrible for their sport. By the way, speaking of OutKick, we have Chad Withrow coming up here in just a few minutes, going to join us on the show from Nashville. Now, Chad had a very interesting tweet this morning. He is predicting Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee tonight in Nashville.
It'll be interesting to see the logic behind that. I mean, Vanderbilt has been playing better. I think it all depends on what Tennessee does. Are we going to come out with the four guard, one big, and really, press the issue and push tempo? Because that seems to be the recipe for success for us offensively.
Yeah, I think you can see it. And that's the disturbing part about it is I don't think he's crazy. And obviously we hope it doesn't come to pass, but we'll let Chad unpack that take for you coming up here in just a minute. And Will Warren, friend of Fan Run, friend of all things Fan Run. I don't know if you guys had a chance to read his piece that he wrote yesterday about the mid-range jumper and Tennessee's reliance on it. But he was able to take this weird theory that, and we're not the only one. Other people, more privy basketball people than us, have been talking about this for a long time now. But he was able to take this whole Tennessee takes bad shots narrative and really dig into the numbers and look at it statistically. And the long and short of it is it backs up everything that we've been saying. And we'll go through some of those numbers for you coming up here in just a little bit. We're live today, folks. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Come on down and test drive a brand new Mitsubishi. They have some beautiful pickups here on the lot as well today. If you're in market for a new truck or SUV, they can help you out there. And anything in between, they've got it for you here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. As always, they own the bank. All types of credit, from good to bad, can qualify for an auto loan here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Come on down, check them out. We're at 9711 Kingston Pike, across from the Chop House. We'll be here till 6 p.m. tonight here on Fan Run Radio. Quick timeout, Chad Withrow of OutKick.com coming up next here on The Drive.
The Drive.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear live this afternoon from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Pleased to be joined right now by Chad Withrow of OutKick.com on your G3 Help Me hotlines. Good afternoon, Chad. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Hey, man, we're doing all right. You guys thawing out all right over there in the mid-state?
You know, it's amazing on Sunday. So I was actually up in your neck of the woods, went to a family outing in Gatlinburg over the weekend, get back home. You know, we left in a complete freeze and snow everywhere and ice. Leave, come back, and my driveway is still covered in ice, and it was 65 degrees. So I was outside in shorts and a T-shirt, 65-degree weather, shoveling snow and ice on Sunday. And there is still, because the way the shade hits the front of my house, One side of my driveway is still covered in ice. It is 70 degrees in Nashville for a third straight day, and I still have ice in my driveway. Yeah, other than that, we're doing great. Weather's fine here now.
Nice, nice. And speaking of cold, the Tennessee Basketball Volunteers in Nashville tonight for a game against Vandy. And, Chad, one of the first things I saw this morning, just scanning through Twitter, you are predicting the Commodore upset. They're an 8-point underdog, according to FanDuel. Chad, what do you see going right for Vandy and wrong for Tennessee right now?
So that number has gone up because when I looked at it, I think it was 5 or maybe 6.5 or 6 when I first saw it. So that leads me to believe that Josiah Jordan James may be playing tonight, which would be good news for Tennessee. Look, there's no real knowledge when it comes to this Tennessee team. Call it a hunch and call it watching that Tennessee-Kentucky game on Saturday. And that one, to me, just felt a little bit different because that was the first game this year where I honestly questioned energy level from Tennessee. That was Kentucky clearly wanting it a lot more. And that first half was too much to overcome for Tennessee. And when they're not shooting well from the outside, they don't have anyone they can go down low to. They like to settle for mid-range jump shots. There's not enough of driving to the basket and getting the free throw line. And I think that they're going to encounter a team tonight in Vandy that, while 2-10 in the SEC, has played a lot better as of late, almost beat Kentucky, had Alabama on the road and on the ropes recently. They're playing a lot better. And quite frankly, I think they're going to want it a lot more than Tennessee. I'm questioning where this team is mentally right now. Now, Rick Barnes has done a great job of snapping teams out of things like this, and this team's been a great example. It's been one game on, one game off. So if you follow that trend, Tennessee should be fine tonight, and they'll bounce back and play well in this game. But just watching that game on Saturday, it felt different watching that Tennessee team and the way they played and the way they looked against Kentucky.
Chad Withrow of Outkick.com joining us here this afternoon on The Drive. And Chad, when you look at the expectations for this Tennessee team coming into the season, I'm sure you saw those in Nashville. This was a number 4 ranked team in the country at one point, a team that was talked about as being a favorite to make a Final Four run. And it certainly seems like they are heading in the wrong direction as we get set to head towards the month of March. What do you think is the situation here? Is it the team just being overrated? Are they just not that good? Or do you think that perhaps Rick Barnes has pushed some of the wrong buttons this year?
It's probably a combination of all those things, because the one thing that Tennessee needed to have happen was for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer to improve as the year went on and really hit their stride about this time of year. And for the most part, they've done that. They've gotten better. Both those guys, the leading scorers in SEC play this year. So I think that part of the equation has worked. Now, the John Fulkerson thing, look, he's better than this, okay? He is better than whatever he's bringing to the table this year for Tennessee. But I'll also say I think we all now have the realization that he wasn't the John Fulkerson that went to Lexington late in the season a year ago and had that performance. He was playing out of his mind for a stretch. And then that became the expectation for John Fulkerson this year, and he's just not that guy. So I think that's been part of the disappointment. Eves Pond's a good player. You know, he blocks shots defensively. He can do some nice things. He doesn't have that personality. He's not that take-over-a-game type offensive skill player. So when you look at Tennessee, I think they've got some really good players. I think they've got some good role guys. I think they're a good team. I think they're a team that's capable of the Sweet 16, but they just don't have that killer mentality. I've said this a lot, but it's almost like they're too nice. You know, it's a bunch of nice guys on this team. You don't see anyone getting in someone's face on this Tennessee basketball team other than maybe Keon Johnson at times, and that's your freshman that's going to be a one-and-done player. So when you combine all those things, I think you got a team that is probably going to be a 5 or 6 seed in the NCAA tournament and could get bounced by 20 in the first round or could put together a couple of nice performances and make the Sweet 16, but I think that's the ceiling, and I think part of the expectation with this team was that John Fulkerson and Eves Pons would be really good, and they haven't been this year. They haven't been good enough, and now that those freshmen are coming along, they need the upperclassmen to join in with them, and it just really hasn't happened yet.
You know, you look back 2 years ago, the 30-win team. And, of course, that team was led by Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, a couple of three-star guys who Admiral's a four-year guy. Grant played here three seasons, but they were guys that were coached up and developed over a long period of time. And at the time, people said, okay, well, they weren't able to go as far as you wanted in the NCAA tournament. What Rick Barnes has to do now, Chad, is he's got to go out there and use that winning foundation that he set to bring in some of the five-star recruits, and then they can take the next step. Well, here we've had several five-stars come into the program. They've got another one coming in next year in Kennedy Chandler, and now all of a sudden you see some of the narrative, oh, they've got to go find another Grant Williams. They've got to go find another Admiral. I know it's an art, not a science, when you talk about putting together a college basketball roster, but what is that right balance that Rick Barnes needs to be looking for? Is it really just as simple as recruit the best players you possibly can, or does he need to be looking to add some guys who, while they might not necessarily be NBA prospects down the road, are good college players who can help you win in the college game?
Well, I mean, that should be guys like Santiago Vescovi and John Fulkerson and V.J. Bailey. You know, these are guys that are on the roster, and they just haven't been playing up to par, quite frankly. And that's been the big piece, and you mentioned it with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, the player development piece of Rick Barnes that he's so successfully done at Tennessee, and really every stop along the way in his coaching career. And you've seen John Fulkerson regress. Eves Pons hasn't taken that jump that I think Tennessee fans were hoping to see from him. And then you mix him in with some guys who are legitimately talented. But, you know, I don't think – Keon Johnson's a great physical talent, good player. Keon Johnson is not, you know, Cam Thomas, for instance, at LSU. He's not a guy who's going to go and get you 20-plus a game in the SEC right now. So there's still some challenges there with the roster, but – you know, I don't know what the right formula is. I mean, Tennessee's not going to snap their fingers and become Duke or Kentucky and have, you know, 5 1-and-dones in every recruiting class. So if you can get a Kennedy Chandler, Jaden Springer, a Josiah Jordan James, who now looks more like a nice four-year college player, a Keon Johnson every so often, that's good to mix in with guys who are developing and older on your roster. The biggest issue I see with this Tennessee team is the upperclassmen guys just haven't improved to the level you'd want to see in this season. But I'm not giving up on them. I still think it's a team that's really good and at their best can beat anyone in America. We just need to see more of that best night in and night out, and that's been the big issue for Tennessee.
Chad Withrow, Outkick.com, with us this afternoon on The Drive. All right, Chad, switching gears a little bit. In Music City, Isaiah Wilson, it seems like the situation is coming to a head for the Titans. If this is indeed it and he doesn't play for the Titans ever again, this has got to be, I mean, the Titans have had some bad first round picks through the years, but this has got to be right up there as one of the all time bad busts in the history of the NFL draft, correct?
Yes. I mean, if he doesn't play another snap for the Titans, which is possible at this point, the way he's trending, I think he's going to play 3 snaps this season, all on special teams. One of them, he got bulldozed on an extra point attempt in Indianapolis. That's a first-round pick, and that could be his entire contribution to the Titans on the field. So I think it would go down as one of the worst first-round picks of all time. And here's the problem now that the Titans have with Isaiah Wilson. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson like to say this line about we treat our players, and mainly Mike Vrabel, we treat our players the way they treat the team. Well, how is Isaiah Wilson treating the team? How did he treat the team this season when he found every possible list? Guys, he found lists I didn't know existed that you could not play on for the team. The NFI list, and he went into another list, and it was amazing to watch the amount of lists this guy could find to not be on the roster as a first-round pick. So if you're going to preach that we treat our guys the way they treat the team, then you must cut Isaiah Wilson. And salary cap implications be damned at this point, because you have to send that message to your team. If you're going to go after football first team guys for the Tennessee Titans, then you got to cut some rather large dead weight in Isaiah Wilson. And to me, that's the obvious decision now for the Titans. We'll see if they make it.
Talking with Chad Withrow of Outkick.com in Nashville. All right, Chad, last thing we'll let you run here. Other free agency and draft needs for the Titans, besides the obvious, everybody knows they've got to target pass rushers in the draft and free agency. What else are you looking for if you're John Robinson?
You know, I'm going to stay on defense. I think corner. You know, I think there's a situation there with Adoree Jackson and his injuries. And he had a rough season. Malcolm Butler had a good year, even though they were, you know, pretty bad in the secondary this season. Is Christian Fulton going to step up in year two, the second-round pick out of LSU a year ago? I think defensive back is going to be an area of need for this Titans team. And then, you know, what happens with Corey Davis? Odds are he's probably going to walk and sign somewhere else, and then receiver becomes an issue at that point. So a guy to go with A.J. Brown. I think those are the two positions I'm looking at. And you mentioned the obvious one. You got to address pass rush, whether it be in free agency or the draft. But outside of that, I am looking at corner help, corner slash safety help, and also a wide receiver if, in fact, Corey Davis decides to leave.
All right, Chad Withrow of Outkick.com. When's the new show start, Chad?
March 15th, the Ides of March. So we are, what, a little less than 3 weeks away from debuting with Outkick, and we are excited to get things rolling. A lot of cool announcements that we're going to be laying out there in the coming days. So stay tuned to that. And, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Very cool. Follow him on Twitter at the Chad Withrow. Chad, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you.
Yes, Chad Withrow making his presence felt this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III, 865-558-8030, online at g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick break right here. A lot to unpack there. We'll do it when we continue next. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Bankruptcy.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee basketball back in action tonight. It's a 9 p.m. tip in Memorial Gym, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Mike Morgan and Debbie Antonelli have the call tonight on ESPN on the SEC Network, Bear.
Have we had them yet this year?
I don't think so. I like Mike Morgan. He's a fellow Columbia SC native and has been in that game for a long time. I do not know who Debbie Antonelli is, but she will be on the she will be the color person tonight.
All right.
Tennessee.
I wonder if my guy Akeem Adesupe is going to get into the game tonight.
We'll see. I don't think he didn't get on the floor in Knoxville, did he?
No, he's getting minutes just here and there. They're kind of bringing him along, so it'd be kind of cool to see him, though.
All right. Tennessee took on Vanderbilt the middle of last month. Since then, Vandy is 2-6 overall. They've fallen in four of their last five games. However, all four of the losses, which bookended a 21-point win over Mississippi State, have been by 6 points or less. So they've been in all of these games, and the key for them is point guard play. Scottie Pippen Jr. leads the Commodores, ranked second in the SEC in scoring at 20.5 points per game. He had 21 and 24 in his last two games against Kentucky and Alabama. So what do you do tonight if you're Rick Barnes to stop Scottie Pippen Jr.? Can't let him torch us for 20, can you?
Nah, I'd probably put Keon on him.
Think that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what you got to do. Under the basket, it's Dylan DeSue is the big guy down there. He ranks second on the team and 10th in the SEC in scoring with 15 points a game. So he's somebody that you will have to deal with. And, of course, last time out, Tennessee had Keon going for 16 and another solid defensive effort as Tennessee won that game in Knoxville. Elsewhere, you've got baseball again today. Tennessee, what was the final yesterday? 21? Was it 20-1? 21-1?
Ah, golly. Coach Vitello and the Diamond Vols just no mercy.
They put up 10 runs in the eighth inning.
They went all Cobra Kai on those guys.
Showed them the 50 states. An 11-run eighth inning, as Alex said. 16 hits for the Vols. 21 runs against Arkansas Pine Bluff, and they will go again today, coming up here in about 45 minutes. Wow, what a beautiful day to be out at Lindsey Nelson Stadium watching Tony Vitello's baseball Vols. Did you see the home run celebration yesterday, Bear?
Yes, I did.
How does that strike you?
I wonder if I don't know what to think about that, and I wonder if somebody's, you know, maybe made a call and said I don't know if we want to be doing that.
I believe Danny No Nugs might have something to say about that too. It's funny though. It's funny, and glad that they're having a sense of humor about it, and just shows the difference between the two programs. I mean, you got one program that's laughing and joking and having fun and winning, and then the other program is, well, Tennessee football. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. If you missed it, Tennessee, after they came in, I guess they were holding up a big McDonald's bag after the home run trot, which, of course, I believe it's a reference to Jeremy Pruitt. I don't know. Maybe there's some innocuous explanation for it, but it was got a lot of eyeballs yesterday on social media. All right, that is your Rocky Top Report. It is brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. You can check them out online at boknowshouses.com if you're doing some house hunting this week. It's great weather to do that in, obviously. Call Bo Kregner for a free real estate consultation at 865-742-1035. He'll let you know where the homes are. They are going so fast right now, folks. You list a home, you're getting multiple offers on it the same day. That's what's happening in the East Tennessee real estate market right now. So if you're looking, you got to look fast, and you need somebody like Bo on your side to help you walk you through that process. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, 865-742-1035. Again, call for a free consultation, 742-1035, or just go online to boknowshouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. It's real estate the right way. 865-546-8200. Our number, if you want to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. Chad Withrow of Outkick.com. Bear, what did you learn?
Quite a bit. Until you guys started talking about the Titans, I didn't realize that, you know, the money, I guess, had come in on, you know, I didn't realize that we had started off a 6-point favorite on Vanderbilt tonight, and then that line moved up. So I guess that means that money started coming in on Tennessee, or how does that work?
Yes. Yes, the line goes up.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of still kind of surprised that he thinks that Vanderbilt's going to win tonight, just because they are a dreadful basketball team. But then again, we are we're kind of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're better than their record says. I think we're better than our record says. We should be anyway. But I don't think that they're playing any better or worse than we are right now. And they've got a point guard that's playing out of his mind. That is obviously a problem spot for Tennessee right now. I mean, we got a lot of problem spots, but it's one of these games, Bear, where if the shots aren't falling, man, it could be a frustrating night tonight.
Yeah, it's such a wacky, you just never know there at that wacky gym. You know, we're going to come out like sometimes Tennessee does down there and have a hard time shooting and getting shots to fall, or we're going to come out and, you know, like when Grant and that bunch went up there, and how many Grant scored that night? 40?
41.
Yeah, I went 20-something. He was perfect from the free throw line, so I don't know. This one's kind of it's a hard call.
We've got a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you this afternoon. We're talking about Tiger Woods and his injury struggles after the car accident yesterday. Talking about the greatest athletes of this, the 21st century, where does Tiger rank and who is the best? Earlier today, I said that Tiger is in a group of three for me, along with Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps, as the greatest athletes of this century. you can give us your thoughts on that calling in this afternoon. We're not going to do a Twitter poll because, you know, they only give you four choices. Hard to narrow that down to four, and there's so many great options. 865-546-8200 if you want to chime in on that. And then the other thing I'm discussing here, I'm going to get back to this piece that our friend Will Warren, over at statsbywill.com. This is pretty interesting. I'd never seen this metric bear. This is Simon Gersberg's top 20 teams in shot quality. He has found a way to quantify shot quality, and it's pretty interesting. Not a big surprise that Gonzaga and Baylor take the best shots in the country. Or actually, they don't. I'm sorry. They're the best team. They're the top two teams in the country in terms of pulls. But they do take very good shots. He has what he calls the rim and three rate. In other words, the number of field goals, the percentage of field goals that you take that are either at the rim, dunks or layups, or three-point shots. And for Baylor, 74%. Gonzaga, 71%. Alabama, 78%, right? We've all okay. watched them play and said, like, okay, well, that's – they're doing so. Bama, basically 8 out of 10 shots they take are either threes, layups, or dunks. What number do what percentage do you think Tennessee is at in that same metric?
Probably 25%.
Oh no, it's nowhere. It's 56%, but that is way down the list. Here are the other teams that are shooting 55 or 56% of their shots from the rim or from three-point land. We are in the company of such noted basketball powerhouses in this regard, Bear, as Idaho, wow. Texas A&M Corpus Christi, High Point, Florida A&M, Texas State, Montana, Southern, and Lehigh. Now, by the way, Kentucky is right there with us shooting 56%. So they share the same affliction, but I keep coming back to this, Bear. Rick Barnes, long-term, if he's going to have a second act here, and he's already had a second act here. He's won a conference championship. He's established himself, right? But if he's going to have another Final Four run, if he's going to really secure his legacy as one of the all-time greats of his generation, I think he's got to change his approach. I think he's got to modernize. And I understand that this is old school basketball. This is the way he was coached when he came up. And in his defense, to me, it's a more aesthetically pleasing. Like, it's more fun to watch, I think, what he's trying to do. But the numbers bear this out, Bear. It's not as effective. There's a reason that Gonzaga and Baylor are dominating the sport this year and playing that way. And I just think he's going to have to change his approach. This is not necessarily a recruiting thing. I think we spend too much time. It's like, oh, Kennedy Chandler's going to fix it. Oh, he's got to recruit a big man. Oh, he's got to get this guy. I think he's got to change his philosophical approach in, as far as the way he coaches the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, I bookmarked it, so I go back and read it this evening, Will's article. But nobody – I don't think anybody in the country takes as many mid-range jumpers as we do. And it kind of goes back to what you had said, that everybody, the game has evolved into a dunk, a layup, or you shoot a three. And the mid-range jumper has, you know, gone the way of the dodo. I mean, it would be one thing if they were falling like they were when, you know, when we had Grant and Admiral and that crew in here that were, you know, just really talented, and their mid-range jumpers were high percentage shots, I guess, from the elbow and around in there. But, you know, these guys just, it doesn't fall the way it did for those guys. So, you know, you see Auburn, I mean, just about everybody plays completely different than what we do now. So I don't know what he's going to do. Will he change, Russ?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's one thing knuckleheads like us get on the radio and rant about it. I think it's got to come from inside his organization. I think Kim English, Mike Schwartz, those guys have got to challenge him in the offseason, say, look, coach, this what we've been doing, we had some great players on this team. We should have done better, and who knows? Maybe we just aren't as good as we thought we were coming into the season. We might not be a Final Four team. but we should be better than we are right now. I don't think anybody would argue that. And I think some of those guys that are in his inner circle that he trusts have got to sit him down and say, look, we need to change a little bit. Doesn't mean we can't run your favorite curl play where so-and-so gets the ball at the elbow and shoots that little pop-up jump shot. When that works, it's a thing of beauty. But maybe having our guys drive into the middle of the lane over and over and over again and shoot turnaround, fadeaway jump shots is maybe that's not a great philosophy for success. Maybe we need to look at doing some things differently and changing our recruiting approach a little bit to fit that. We'll see. I hope that happens in the offseason, and we won't really know until next year. I think we're kind of stuck with it the way it is for this year. I don't know that you can make such a sweeping change midstream like this, but I do think that he's going to have to confront that eventually if, again, he wants to take another step and make a Final Four here before he hangs it up in Knoxville. All right, we are live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, 9711 Kingston Pike. 3 days left in their end-of-the-month blowout sale here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Come on down, check it out. 9711 Kingston Pike across from Franklin Square in West Knoxville. Quick timeout. The top four at four coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.